is entitled The Right Attitude in Serving Christ. The Right Attitude in Serving Christ. It is of the utmost importance that we have the right attitude when we are serving our Lord. You see, sometimes we don't consider our attitude when we are serving God, but it can get us in trouble if we are not careful, and it can bring about a lot of misunderstanding about God. And when you don't really understand God, it's going to be very hard for you to obey God. It says, it will keep the enemy from taking advantage of us. See, it's hard for the enemy to take advantage of you in serving God when you got the right attitude when you serve him. But it's easier for him to take advantage of you and put a lot of doubt in your mind and try to take you away from the things of God because your attitude was not in cement when you were serving God. You didn't have the right attitude. You follow what I'm saying? And don't you be fool enough to believe that Satan don't want to draw you away from the things of God. Oh, he may nickname it. He may say there's a reason why you're pulling away or why you don't have the faith that you used to have anymore or whatever. He can give you a group of things that cause this to happen. But let me tell you something. The main reason it happens if you're born again is that your attitude in serving God is not correct. Oh, you got to get this thing. It don't mean you're not saved. It just means you got the wrong attitude when you're serving the Lord. You see, some people won't serve the Lord because they believe I don't have to serve him. All I need to do is be born again. And that's it. He done done enough for me. You know, so the church thing and the giving, the tithing and all of that kind of stuff, I don't need none of that. Loving my brothers and helping out and just being that spark. You know, it blessed my heart this morning, getting out of the car, and Sister Patricia came up to the car to help my wife out and coming in. But it blessed my heart because she approached my wife. I call her and a few more around here, her armor bearer. But when she approached my wife, she approached her with a smile. Not only did she approach her with a smile, I think she said, "Good morning, sunshine." Now, I'm getting out the other side. But I'm listening. I'm hearing. Now, if you know my wife, she smiles, and she got that beautiful smile, and there's something infectious about it because she had it ever since I met her, and we've gone on 46 years, and she had it before then, and she used to tell me, people say, "Why are you laughing? I'm going through hard times. Hey, what's funny? You laughing at me or with me or?" I mean, ain't nobody got nothing that going on that happy. You laugh all the time. And all it do is make her ki-ki-ki. Ki-ki-ki. I got that from Sister Odell because she say, all Vanessa going to do is say ki-ki-ki. She'll laugh. And it was my buddies in Wilbur and all say that no matter what's going on, Berwick's driving and Vanessa, I'd say something to Wilbur, she go, ki, 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 ki. I tell you, you know, you need some things sometimes to turn your ticker box over. So, sometimes some folk that you're just so miserable, even in Christ, that you ever had your, I like to call your ticker box just turned over. You just, ha, ha, ha. It's good for you. Every now and then. Satan want to defeat you. He want to rob, steal, and kill, and destroy. But you let him know, "I got joy that you know not of." Hallelujah. I tell you, some things just do your heart good. Y'all keep being a blessing because your lives influence other people's lives. Okay? That's the way God made us. Okay. If we obey the Lord just to get things from him or to escape the trials, then our relationship to him isn't very loving. It's more of a contract relationship. And it's how this works. We obey him if he'll give us what we want. But we should obey the Lord because we love him. Sometimes obeying him will lead us into trials, but he will see us through. Don't you know that? You know the familiar story of the three Hebrew boys, we call them. They had the right attitude. Because with that attitude, your faith in your God is strengthened. And the benefits that you receive are spiritual. They are out of this world. And we are serving the spiritual God. The Bible said God is spirit, and we must worship him in spirit and in truth. You see, I need to know the truth about God if I'm going to worship him right. I can't worship God right with a lot of wrong thinking, a lot of error, because I would do it according to my knowledge. And if my knowledge is not right knowledge or accurate knowledge, I serve him on those bases, and that's not going to suffice God. See, that's one of the reasons why God says study to show yourself approved unto God. Watch this. See, you're not studying the word of God to show yourself approved to yourself. You're not studying the word of God to show yourself approved to your neighbor, though you can help your neighbor. But your primary focus on studying the word of God in this new relationship you have with God is that you show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of God. He said, when you pick up the book, you need to know how to rightly handle it. Because what it's going to do for you is going to elevate your faith. It's going to strengthen you. Are y'all with me? Okay. Stick with me now, because I hope this can, you know, what this is doing for me is enlightening me to many things I'm seeing now in this world with the so-called believer or the believer. You know, we know of the apostates, but the apostates were not saved. But sometimes a believer can have their faith dampened. And not know it. And y'all hang with me now. Because the attitude of serving God was never right. It was never correct. Because the attitude was on a contract. If you do this, I'll do that. When you stop doing this, I'm going to stop doing this. Now, if I get, wait a minute. If I had a contract with the Lord, I'll serve him on my contract. In my contract would be, God, I'll serve you if I don't get diabetes. That would be in it. If I don't have high blood pressure, I'll serve you. If I don't get under the weather every now and then, and my people, I will serve you. But when you start letting me and my people get under the weather, sickness invade my house, then our contract of serving you is broken. And God, if you let me go through any trials or tribulation, I don't need to serve you. I can go through trials and tribulation by myself. But see, that's the wrong relationship. That is the wrong attitude to have if you're going to serve my God. Y'all ain't with me on this. Now, I'm telling you, see, we got to have the word coming into a way. Because, see, I want to unlock some thinking, if I can. So a lot of things you won't blame God for, or you won't back away from God because you didn't know you had an attitude of a contract. You didn't know it, but Pastor preaching it today. And some of us got that kind of attitude. Yeah, you got it. But I'm going to tell you something. Confession is good for the soul. God says you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you. God didn't give me this message for nothing now. So, oh, God, you're showing me something. God, I didn't see it this particular way, but now it makes sense. Woo! Turn with me to Daniel chapter 3. Y'all know that story. The three Hebrew boys. Oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, he got that decree out. He says, when you heard the symphony, when you heard the choir, the orchestra playing, hey man, you about to bow down and worship my God. But those three Hebrew boys, they weren't gonna do it. See, they weren't gonna do it because see, they didn't have a contract attitude with God. They had the real deal attitude. They had an attitude like Job, though you slay me, yet will I serve you. Well, wait a minute. Whoa. You and I, man, I'm getting that. Lord, you're getting me. Oof. Got a lot. I don't even have any, but it's coming. Can I do what God? Boy, this. See, this was so good to me when I was studying this, because you know what? There were some questions that I had with God, and I asked God, and man, I was telling Lamont in the office. I said, you know what? I had some questions, and I was talking to another preacher about some. I said, there's some things I go to God with, you know, and there's some things that I don't understand. I'm not afraid to say, God, I don't understand. I said, but Lamont, you know what? Saturday night, God showed me something from the Word of God that answered my question. Now, that particular question, I don't have no more. I got my answer from the Scriptures. But I had never seen it in that light before. God showed it to me in that light so I could get my question answered. I'm telling y'all something. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in this time of worshiping God. Take full advantage of this hour that we have. Oh, my God. You there by now, right? Okay. All right. Okay, I'm going to pick it up at 14. You know, he got the decree up. There's some folk that went back and dropped the dime on them and told them, said, these guys, they're not doing what you were saying. And verse 14 says, and Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my God? Now, you need to underline this, because there's some things we need to get straight with who we serve. And you need to get some boldness. Don't be weak with this. You can be weak with a whole lot of things, but you better know the God that you serve. You don't serve every God that come down the pike. Huh? Everybody knocking at your door with their God, you got to let them know, I don't serve your God. You don't have no good news if you're knocking on my door with another God. You bringing bad news to my doorstep. The good news, the gospel, save me. Make me brand new. Make me a new creation. I'm new now. Before I was made new by the good news, you could knock on my door and I might give you 20 cents, 50 cents, or a dollar for your literature just to get you off my porch. But I know better than that now. I can't be partakers anymore. I don't serve your God. There was a question asked, and that question being asked today, who do you serve? Why is it so, if you serve the same God Pastor Rick served, what makes it so hard for you to be here with me? I don't understand that. I'm not serving a foreign God. I'm serving the true and living God, and I ain't just start serving him. That you do not serve my God, that has a problem. Or worship the gold image which I have set up. Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and sorcery in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who? Now you got to get this part too. You see, when folk think they're bad, when they think they're all that, when they think they got all authority, sometimes you got to tell your enemy, your giant, whatever's standing in your way, your situation, you ain't all that because you ain't sovereign. That ain't but one sovereign one. So whatever authority you have, it's been allotted to you by my God. Oh, my, my, my. Mm-mm-mm. It says, and this is just good, just reading it. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hand? My, my, my. Boy, you in trouble. You threaten the true and living God. You threatening your creation. You talking about your hands that made your image. The God of the three Hebrew boys made your hand to make your image. And by the way, you made it with God's material. God created out of nothing. Bara. Oh, my God, I tell you. See, you got to know God. So the enemy hits you, you'll know what to say. But if you don't know what you got, you get weak on the promises. No? Oh, my, my, my. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered, I'm going to answer you now, and said to the king, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need, look at this here, to answer you in this matter. I don't need to answer this. But I will. If this is the case, you're gonna do your thing with us. You're gonna put us in the fire. Okay? Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from. Now, walk with me slowly here. But if you're taking notes, you want to put, my God is able, no matter what fiery furnace I may have to enter into, I realize I don't go in there by myself. Because he said he'll never leave me or he'll never forsake me. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You don't need nobody forsaking you when you're going through trials. You know, you ever heard of fair weather friends, Sister Pat? Now, long as you can do all that cooking and all that kind of stuff and help folk out and show that mom pet love, it's all right. But when mom pet get in a fiery furnace, nobody to be found. No, jump in there with them. Say, nah, I'm not a fair weather friend. I understand trials may come, but I realize the God that we serve is able. Now, let's move. He's able to deliver from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand. If God decide to deliver us, your hand couldn't keep us. If you're trying to enslave me with the power of your hand, I want you to know my God would emancipate me. You need to know he's able. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Now, this when I'm through, you got to go, you got to bear with me. First, I need to know that you're able to do what I have need of. Now, just because God is able, it may not be his will to do it. But don't you leave this place. Don't you cower down to your fears, your situations, your fiery trials. They're just for a moment. Because they will make you believe that your God is not able anymore. Because you have now come upon something in your life that's turning you upside down. And you have no help. But I want to tell you something. You got to stand flat-footed on that God is able. Now, let's not rush ahead. Just stay right there for a minute. Stand on. God is able. I just need to know I'm serving an able God. I am serving the only one is able to do more than I can even ask or even think. My mind can't even comprehend the power, the might of our God. Now, I'm not rushing to nothing. Now, you need to know he's able, whether he deliver you or not. See, if he decide not to deliver me from, but deliver me through, that's okay too. See, I don't call how he gonna do it, when he gonna do it. That's above my pay grade. All I need to know, he's able to do it. When you stop believing that God is able, then you look for another that you feel is able to deliver you. You see, that's why some folk run away, because they say, he ain't able. He ain't able. So you know what? I better pull myself up by my own bootstraps. These guys had the right attitude about their God. We got to get to know our God that we say that we are serving. Okay, let me move on. Wow. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego answered and said, "Kill King, we have no need to answer." Well, let me go on down. I already read that. 18. "But if not," you see that? He's, let me tell you something. If he decide not to deliver us from the fire, but deliver us through the fire consumed us. If he don't deliver us, let me let you know something. Let it be known to you, King, one with the power. O King, I'm addressing you. I'm not addressing your congregation and your officers, your princes. No, I'm talking straight to the horse's mouth. That we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you set up. Oh, man, you know the story. He went on and threw them on in, and then they looked in there, one like the Son of God, and you read on, and we know what happened. Those who threw them in there burned up. Huh? But they came out, they didn't have no singe on their clothes or anything because God delivered them. But here's the thing. Sometimes we want deliverance before we get in to the situation. We just know the situation is threatening us. I'm not in it, but it's coming my way. And so what's happening to me now, the anxiety is building in me. It hasn't done all it can do, but it's bothering me mentally, spiritually. Every part of me is upset, and I may explode even before I enter into the fiery furnace because it's threatening me. And with all of that concentration on the fiery furnace, if you're not careful, it'll move you away from concentrating on your help. You got to tell your situation sometime, yes, I'm hurting. You are threatening me. What I got is real, but you know what? My God is able. If I got to shed a tear, my God is able. Huh? See, you want me to self-destruct before you even do damage to me. You want me to do damage to myself. You want me to commit suicide. You want me to do all kind of crazy things as if I have no help. But I got to settle in my mind. Whether he helped me or not is not predicated on his ability to help me. My God is able. Because he sees the whole. He sees it all, the beginning, the end, and what he going to do after. And while he permit a trial to come your way, you don't have all the info, but God does. God doesn't make decisions on part information. God makes decisions on all the information. And I got to stand flat-footed on his ability. I don't have no ability. Oh, man. Oh, God just took my mind back. Rick, you ain't had no ability when you went down to try to get some air conditioning. You went in there with your little plan trying to get a price. You sitting in there with the foreman, the guy at Smith & King's. You sitting there and just, what is it going to cost? What are we going to get this? Because we're trying to build a fellowship hall years ago. You begin to walk. You don't know what's going to happen, but you trust me. Now, you in there, all of a sudden, somebody come around. The guy, you looking at, across the table from him. He's looking, you looking. All of a sudden, somebody come in. He get up and leave you. You still looking. He go over and talk to somebody in the office and come back. He say, give it to you. Huh? What are you talking about? I'm trying to get a price. He said, we got some brand new stuff, but it's scratching dent. I just been to Field Brick. It was over about $20,000. See, I'm getting prices. I know this stuff comes. He said, you got gas? No, we can get gas. See, we didn't have no gas on the property, but it came up to the property. No, you think I'm going to say, no, we don't have no gas. You can keep that. No, we get the gas. Man told me, he said, that was the owner. He's that man he said, yeah, I'm the supervisor in the shop, in here, you know. He said, but he told me to give it to him. I said, well, not only that. So we got gas furnace. If you look, we don't have gas over this side, but there's gas over that side. But folk don't know the history why it's over there. I do. And then he gave us two air conditioners. You go over there, still seeing one big one around the side, you see two. Because the man came when he said, you pay for the installation, but we're going to give you this. He came in, the same guy that I was talking with in the shop, he came in to check out his mechanics, what they were doing. He looked around at the capacity. He walked through, because I only had one air conditioner. You go out there and you peep on the side. If you pop back there, you see a big one and a little one. What happened? He looked at it. He said, Pastor Rick, we need to get you another unit in here, so I'm going to give you another one. I don't care if they're going to write it off. I don't care. God gave me favor. God said, Rich, don't, not how you get it. You just go if I tell you to go. You just go. Show me you trust me against all odds. See, this thing, you're going to trust God when there ain't nothing against you. I don't know what kind of God you're serving. Sometimes God will permit something to come up against you just so you can say, that which is against me is not greater than that which is in me. But like I say, it's not easy because sometimes we get used to doubting God. We get used to waiting on God. But I tell you what, if you and I can ever get to the point where we say, you know what, yes, I want this. Yes, I want this. Yes, I want this. I'm going to be real. I'm not going to play no games. But get to the point and say, you know, but if he don't, I'm okay with his decision. I don't want to make the decision. But if he make the decision not to give it to me, he knows what's best for me. Now that's going to take growth to get there. But I'm going to tell you, the God that we serve, if you're going to serve him right, you got to get there. Now turn with me to, I want to show you an attitude that, a wrong attitude that God had to deal with. And then I'm going to come on off. Matthew chapter 19, we see Christ dealing with a rich young ruler in 19, and he wanted to be saved, and he wanted this and that, and Jesus told him in verse 21, he said, you know what, hey, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. See that? Treasures in heaven. You're giving them up on earth, but you're having them in heaven. You see, there's a comparison here. Huh? See, there's the eternal and there's the temporal. You know, he says, now look at here. He says, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Watch this. But there's that conjunction, something about the change. You know, he wanted this life, but he didn't want to do it according to Christ. He says, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And I want to drop down. You can read that whole thing. It's a familiar passage. But I want to drop down to the last verse, the 27th verse of that chapter when he had to deal with Peter. Disciples, they were listening to what he told him, and you can read the whole thing. Verse 27, then Peter answered and said to him, see, we have left all and followed you. We've done what you said do. Therefore, what shall we have? All right? He didn't do it. We did it. What are we going to get out of the deal? We trying to live for you, Jesus. He said it cost too much. He had to give up too much he had on this earth to follow him. So he didn't want this perfection bad enough to give up what he had to do it God's way and follow him. Some of us are stuck between two masters. We can't follow Jesus because you got another master. And every now and then you try to bow and serve that other master or that other thing. And sometimes it don't allow you time to serve the true and living God because you got to split your allegiance. But God said you can't serve God and mammon. You can't do both. You got to decide. You know, you got to have that will. Say, God, I want to serve you. It ain't boring to me because I understand the dividends. I understand the blessings of following you. Peter said, I want to know what I'm going to get. So Jesus said to them, surely I say to you that in the generation when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. these the apostles, the original apostles, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake. You need to highlight these different things that Christ is telling you. Sometimes you got to leave to follow him. Because if these folk don't want to follow the Lord, you leave them anyhow and you follow God. He put mama, daddy, Lottie, Dottie, everybody. If you love them more than me, you split your allegiance. You can't follow me and follow them too. You got to decide. Joshua said, choose ye this day who you will serve. I can't choose for you. You can't choose for me. But we give you the opportunity. We present the case, but you make the choice. Do you see what Christ is doing? My, my, my. He said, now do it for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold and inherit eternal life. He said, but many who are first will be last, and the last first. God says, you don't know the height of my generosity to you. You are clueless of my grace. You don't know the magnitude of my blessings of grace and generosity. You don't know how generous I am. You really don't know. And what you won't give up, you value that above what I can do for you. And not only that, you value things, comparing them to Christ, that will be destroyed. You can't take with you. You die, your car, your house, and even the money in your pocket, you leave. Them new clothes that you haven't taken the tag off yet in your closet, they'll be there for somebody else or the Goodwill or whatever. Huh? You stack up that money, you stack up everything, but if you die, you don't know if you're going to leave it to a fool or a wise person. And also, we may be giving up a moment of pleasure for everlasting glory, everlasting blessings in the kingdom of God. He said it. But watch this. He told Peter and the rest of the disciples, okay, you asked the question, this is what you're going to get. But I ain't through with you because you had an attitude. You had an attitude I don't like. You see, that attitude is kin to contract. We did this, so you just ought to do this. I don't have to do nothing. I give you breath. You don't give me breath. I give you being. You don't give me being. I'm the first and the last. I'm Alpha and Omega, not you. Last time I checked, you can do nothing without me. If I don't strengthen you, if I don't give you the enablement, you can't do nothing. Don't make me tell you who you are and tell you who I am. But your attitude ain't right. So he used a parable in the next chapter because of Peter. Question. He said, let me let you know heaven's a little different from the earth. But I'm gonna use a parable. And out of this parable, I want you to get this out here. Don't make a contract with God. You will cut yourself short. You will lose blessings. Okay? Now, he said, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner. There's the owner. Who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for the vineyard. Now, when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, He sent them into his vineyard. Now, this is very important because during this time, during harvest, the folk day laborers would be in the marketplace waiting to be hired. And the work normally started at 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. So that's what, 12 hours, right? And so they'll wait around for someone to hire. So the owner went out and he hired these guys, but they came to agreement. Now, these are the contract folk. You got to see this. You know, well, let's agree what you're going to pay me. And once we can come to a mutual agreement, I'll do the work for this pay. Agreed. Contract signed. And he went out about the third hour. Now he's going out about 6 o'clock, I believe it is. Is that right with my counting? Huh? 9 o'clock. Okay. Third hour, 9 o'clock. Okay. And saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And said to them, you also go into the vineyard and watch this now. Whatever is right, I will give you. Now, this makes a big difference because I got to trust you to give me what's right. I make this contract, this agreement that you would do what I decide you need to pay me, and you agreed you would pay me. But let me tell you something. All the time, you got to trust God that he'll do what's right. Huh? You got to do it. You see, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Are you with me? Let's go on. So they went. They went without a contract, without an agreement. We got to trust you to do what's right. You know, sometimes you can't trust folk to do what's right. Am I right about it? You about to get it in writing. You about to get a witness. But you don't need a witness with God. Mm-hmm. Again, he went out about the 6th and the 9th hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day? They said to him, because no one hired us. He said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you see that, you will receive. Now, these guys don't have but 1 hour to work. It's 11 hour now, right? He says, and when those came who were hard about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. Now, this is going to make some folk high. But when the first came, they suppose, now highlight, this is where we get ourselves in trouble with God. We suppose some things. And if I think them, if I suppose them, that's law, that's right, because I think it. God will turn a corner with his grace. See, you got to look at God deals us with grace. Who earns grace? Can you earn grace? Saints, this is the way we're going to get our understanding of God through the Word of God. If you sat here and don't pick up on God speaking or don't even have the thought of the importance of this, you're not going to hear what Christ is saying to the church or the Spirit of God is saying to the church. But also, when we leave out of these doors and some things we are facing, some things we got a misunderstanding about that God can clear up today to help us in our trials and our fiery furnaces. He says, they suppose, you need to put that in the corner somewhere, a lot of things I suppose. That don't mean God suppose what I suppose. God, remember God said, my ways, my thought. Did he say it? That ain't yours. You can suppose what you want to suppose. It ain't mine. See, it's not about you supposing or thinking on this thing. It's about you obeying. All right? They suppose that they would receive more. And they likewise receive each a denarius. They said, wait a minute. We were first. Now you got us collecting our money last. And now we get a chance to see what you gave them ahead of us. You know, a lot of times somebody get their check, what you get? How much you make an hour? I mean, back in the day now. I don't know what they do it now. I know when I was working back in the day, I date myself. I was working at the dredging company, and a lot of those guys was from North Carolina and whatever. But I was the first black machinist they ever had. I don't know whether the government, somebody got on them, but they were going to put us in apprenticeship. They came and asked all of us that was cleaning the mud scowl out, and they said, we're going to change for a welder. Just a private job now. And he said, but yeah, we want to end up bringing some of the other white guys in and training them too. And they said, some of y'all don't have a high school education, so certain things we can't do. I said, who y'all jabbing? I said, that's all it takes. Crestwood. Boom, I'm bringing mine tomorrow. I said, come on, man. See, what they did, they batched everybody. And they were trying to find an excuse not to train them. So, he turned red. He was hot because I brought mine back right in the cover. Yes, sir, that's all you did. Here it is. He said, I'm going to put you in the machine shop, but I'm going to tell you right now, if you can't hack it, you out of there. I ain't worried about hacking it because I'm going in there ahead of time and let these guys show me because they don't know I'm coming. I'm act like, boy, y'all good. How you do this? What that's for? What's that for? Oh, why you put this on this? Why you use these different speeds and all of that? Oh, man, go ahead. Go. Woo. Now, when you make a mistake, how do you fix it? Next month, I was in there. And like I say, went through it and made mechanic. And when I got that, I left and went to the government where we easy and walked right in. No. I'm telling you, man, let me move on. Y'all don't need to hear about that. But, y'all can keep pretending, but I'm not. Life too short right now. He says now to receive that. He says, and when they had received it, they complained against the landowner. You know, when we complain against God, the owner of it all. And I'm going to tell you something, too. I'm going to tell you something that you can get yourself in trouble, you and I both. See, we look around and look at what other Christians may be receiving and then begin to complain. Well, God, I've been serving you longer than they. God, I came first, and I've been serving you for a long time. And some others say, not only have I been serving you a long time, I've been serving you a mighty long time. Come on, somebody. And therefore, because you say, and maybe you have been serving him for a mighty long time, then you begin to suppose, because of my longevity in serving God, I shall have more grace from God. But I got news for you. It don't work that way. God will bless who he want to bless, how he want to bless, and he's still just in doing it. So I got to understand, a lot of times I get myself in trouble with God because I'm looking at what he done for others. And I begin to complain. Don't know it, but I'm complaining. Watch this. Sometimes I don't even know it, Sister Barmore. I'm really complaining about God's generosity. And though I'm blessed, I don't feel that I'm blessed. I should be blessed more because I came first. God said, I'm going to show you something about me. I'm going to use this parable. But Peter, I heard you. I'm going to tell you what you're going to get. But I heard that attitude. What about us? We done this. My. Now, y'all know this is true. But you're not going to get released if you don't receive this message right. You're going to miss it. You're going to miss this. Sometimes you got to know where you are with the Lord. And rejoice if God blesses somebody else. You know, I remember when I got saved, I remember my pastor, Pastor Mac, telling me, and after we got, I've been there, like I was there ahead of him when he came, it was along that I was preaching and whatever like that. And I remember just sitting and talking. He said, Rick, I want to say something to you. He said, things happen real fast with you. I've been watching, boom, boom, boom. He said, it didn't happen that way with me. It happened, but it didn't happen as fast. He said, but I noticed, boom, boom, everything in a short time with you. He said, but that's not my case. You know, it was a time that I had to wean off my cigarettes and different things he was telling me. He said, and different things. He said, it happened over time, but it didn't happen as I'm watching short time with you. Less time in about 2 years, we had 9 acres of land with no money. Now, I'm not saying this. I'm only saying this for our message. I'm saying God's generosity and grace is given to those he want to give it to because he's the owner and I'm the servant. Sometimes I forget who's the owner. You follow what I'm saying? But don't look at somebody else and get blown away. But God, why it seems like they don't have no trouble? You don't know what they have. A lot of times they just don't scream as loud as you do. You don't know when they're feeling bad. They may just don't tell everybody. But what I'm saying, there is a lesson here. It's a lesson here for us. Because if I got to serve God and I'm not going to get everything I think I should get here, my supposing is wrong. God ain't wrong because he going to give what's just. And I also got to realize God has a plan, a purpose for his people. Okay, let's finish this so I can, you guys have been pretty good. I really had, but I wanted to show you this. Where did I stop at? Come on now, because I'm, 10. Okay, all right. But when the first came, they supposed, oh yeah, you're right. That's why I got to, okay. They supposed that they would receive more. And they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained. Watch complaining about what God have given you, if God have given it to you, against the land, as was against God. Saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour. It don't make no sense. And you made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the heat of the day. It was a little cooler when they came. They had but one hour. They didn't even work up a sweat. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Good God Almighty. God ain't going to do you no wrong. God can't do you wrong and still be God. Y'all ain't getting this. Did you not agree? There's that contract. With me for a denarius? Yeah, you did. Take what is yours, what you agreed on, and go your way. You about to take it and go. I wish to give to this last man. Watch this now. Who wish? God wish. Huh? Didn't God say your way of doing things ain't mine? See, you suppose I do things like you do. So when I didn't do things like you do, you got mad with me. You complain. You grumble because you didn't know who you were dealing with. Stop thinking I'm like you. I articulated well. I don't think like you think. My ways aren't your ways. And then when you see that my way of doing things ain't like yours, Brother Danny, why you complain when I told you I don't do things like you do? But I always do things right. I don't do you wrong. God, you talk. God, you, oh God. God, you put me in my place. There's another one of my messages, so y'all just sit there and tolerate me. Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Watch this then. Watch this. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish? Watch this now. Getting sassy. That I wish with my own things. See, you forget who owned it all. I even own the people I'm giving it to. Or is your eye evil? Whoa. Because I'm good. Good God Almighty. Yo, are you accusing me because I'm generous? Because I'm a little too good for you. Because I can do some, I let it rain on the just as well as the unjust. See, you surmise, you suppose that I don't suppose to let it rain on the unjust. But it's all right to let it rain on the just. That's humanity thinking. But this is godliness. God thinking. Better clear your spiritual sinus quick. Or is your eye evil because I'm good? You mad with me because I'm good. You know, it's amazing. We would say, God is good. Then what we say? Now when he show his goodness to somebody, you said it. Why are you complaining? He said, you hot with me because I'm good. God, God, I'm, whoa! Well, God be good to me too. Because I'm good, so the last. See, he's making a point to Peter and that attitude. So the last will be first and the first last. For many are called. But few are chosen. Man. He said, I call you guys, but I chose to be generous to who I will. And it's none of you. None of your business who I decide to be good to. God, you put me in my place. Guys, you know, I got to go back and check my thinking about my God. I need to read a little bit more. I mean, need to search the scriptures a little bit more because I think I know my God. But if I search the scriptures, I can know him a little bit better. My God, watch your attitude. Check your attitude. And just say, well, praise the Lord, Dan, and God bless you real good. Hallelujah. Thank you. Amen. Because he done got me straight one time. I'm going to lose that attitude. You know, sometimes you tell them children, lose that attitude. Huh? You better lose that attitude. You poking that lip out? I'll turn it inside out. Y'all know them old sayings. Those people didn't play back there, did they? You didn't play with no grown folk. But I tell you, man. Wow, God, you hit my heart. You hit my, oh, God, there's so much, and it's rich, God, but it's helping me. So those places that I suppose, I don't suppose no more. God, you do what you want to do because you the owner. Then they say, the man that owns it. And sometimes I get an attitude because I forget who owns. I think I own because I've been serving him so long, but I don't own nothing. Huh? What you got it by grace. Just like the thief on the cross. Oh, man. Lived that rough life right on to the end and got saved right there before he died. wait a minute now. This guy not even gonna live long enough to serve you. He ain't done nothing. Root, toot, and shoot. Kill, hold up. I mean, this guy was nasty. And now when he die, he gonna get the same salvation, the same blood, same heaven, same new life. God, that ain't right. I got saved and been serving you 40 years. I'm through. But if you are sitting here today,